Ronald goes. There it is. He did it. A 40-70 season and a season unlike any other in Major League Baseball history for Ronald Acuña Jr. Take the base and take a bow, number 13.
Ronald Acuña Jr. making history last night in Major League Baseball. No one in Major League Baseball history has hit 40 or more home runs and stolen 70 or more bases in a season. An amazing season for the guy that I think should be the MVP of the National League. He's on the best team that has the most wins. Ronald Acuña Jr. make history last night. Braves come from behind, beat the Cubs 6-5. It was in the 10th inning. He swiped his 70th bag of the season. That got him in scoring position. So these are not just pointless stolen bases. And he is the first one to be in the 40-70 club. I remember the 40-40 club when Canseco was the first one to do it. 40-70 is beyond insane, and it's pretty doggone cool. And Braves fans had to be excited about that. The Royals game against the Tigers went in a rain delay in the top of the fifth inning and suspended. Tigers are up 4-0. Game will pick up at 12:10 this afternoon. Today's game, originally scheduled for 12:10, will now begin 30 minutes following the completion of the suspended game. After the day today, the Royals have three games left, and that'll be a three-game series at home against the New York Yankees. Zach Greinke's supposed to start the season finale on Sunday. Royals trying to avoid a dubious feat, and that is to avoid their worst record in franchise history. They're 54-103. Worst record, 56-106 in 2003, or 2004, I think it was. And they need to go 2-3 to tie it. They need to go 3-2 to avoid it. And if they go 1-4, 0-5, they will have the worst record ever for Royals baseball, which is saying something because Royals have had a lot of 100 loss seasons. And just to put a little bow on baseball, the Chicago Cubs last night blew another lead to the Atlanta Braves. And the Cubs now are, if the playoff season started today, they lose the head-to-head tiebreaker against the Miami Marlins, and they would be out. Here's an amazing stat, and it's not one that you'd be proud of if you're a Cubs fan. Since September 16th, so in the last 12 days, the Cubs have held a lead in seven different innings on the road in the eighth inning or later. You know what their record is in those games? Seven different innings on the road. Do you know what their record is in those seven games where they have held a lead in seven different innings on the road in eighth inning or later?
I'm going to say 1-6.
0-7. They've blown every single one of them. No other Major League Baseball team in the modern era has blown the lead in more than five straight road innings in eighth or later in which they held a lead. And the Cubs say, hold my beer, which it is National Drink a Beer Day, by the way. They blew the lead in the bottom half in all seven of those games, and yet they're still tied for the last wild card. If they don't make the playoffs, they have nobody to blame but themselves and their bullpen. And it happened second straight night in Atlanta. They were two outs away from winning. Didn't happen. Then took the lead in the 10th and gave up two and lost 6-5 in the 10th. Hard to be Jason Broadfoot, our former employee and a Cubs fan right now, as right now they are just clinging to staying in this thing. So when he updates you on everything, the Baltimore Orioles' magic number to clinch the AL East is 2. They have 99 wins now. Tampa Bay's clinched a wild card spot. Twins have captured the Central. Texas has a 2.5-game lead. Their magic number is 2, it appears, to win the division. Houston beat Seattle last night, so Houston a game and a half up on Seattle, so good news for the Astro fans. Phillies have clinched a wild card. Milwaukee won the Central. Atlanta won the East, and they clinched the number one seed last night with that win over the Cubs. Dodgers win the NL West. When it goes to the wild card standings right now, Tampa Bay is in. Toronto lost yesterday to the Yankees, so Toronto has a 2-game lead over the Mariners and a 0.5-game lead over the Astros. The Astros are a game and a half up on Seattle. So what's going to happen is Toronto, Houston, and Seattle, those three are fighting for two spots. So one is going to be out. And right now it looks like it's going to be the Seattle Mariners, who made the wild card a year ago in the National League. You've got Philly that's clinched. It looks like Arizona's a pretty good spot. They, with 4 games to play, they have a 2-game lead over the Cubs and the Marlins. So right now it looks like it's basically the Cubs and the Marlins and maybe Cincinnati can do something, although they're a game and a half out with 3 to play. It pretty much looks like it's going to come down to the Cubs in Miami. And if the Marlins win their next 4 games, they're in no matter what because they have the tiebreaker over the Cubs. So the Cubs need help after the blowing the lead in the eighth inning or later in seven straight games. So bad news for Cub fans. All right, local sports. Dusty has some cross country, some tennis. We got our athlete of the week and more.
Yeah, today cross country, Beloit Invitational this afternoon at 3:45. Beloit, Concordia, Lakeside, Lincoln, Osborne, Rock Hills, Smith Center, Southern Cloud, St. John's, Sylvan Lucas, Thunder Ridge, and Tipton, all from the area are competing there. That's most of our area cross country teams against 3:45 this afternoon at Beloit Country Club, the Beloit Cross Country Invitational. We actually have volleyball today too. St. John's, Tipton, and Sylvan Lucas are at the Tescott Triangular. Things will start at 4 o'clock this afternoon there in Tescott, and then in girls tennis, Beloit and Osborne at the Ellsworth Round Robin at 3 o'clock this afternoon. So let's look at the schedule on the field and in the field on the court here today. Also, we have high school football locker room chats tonight on Katie Country 94. We talk with the head coaches of St. John's, Tipton, Lakeside, and Rock Hills beginning around 5:15 on Katie Country 94 and katiecountry94.com. A Beloit senior, Brody Schroeder, has been named the NCCastSports.com Cunningham Telephone and Cable Athlete of the Week. Had a big game in helping Beloit to a 30-12 district opening win over Russell last Friday night. Ran for 174 yards on 24 carries with three touchdowns to lead the Trojans to a victory. And in the week prior, Schroeder scored four total touchdowns, three on the ground and another receiving in a 56-8 win over Republic County in Belleville. On the season, he's run for 321 yards on 57 carries. That's 5.6 a carry with seven touchdowns. And on defense, Schroeder has also added 13 total tackles, one for loss and an interception. So congratulations again to Brody Schroeder, senior from Beloit, our NCCastSports.com Cunningham Telephone and Cable Athlete of the Week. We need your help in finding the Athlete of the Week. If you have anybody, let us know. We'll announce the winners each week, and you can nominate an athlete from any school sports. That'll catch you up. Again, the latest in local sports at NCKSSports.com.
Locker room chat tonight?
I already said that,
okay,
one.
Okay, good. Yep. All right. All right. Didn't go in the order of what I had written down, so
no,
it threw me off.
No, you're good.
All right. Okay. In week three of the NFL season begins tonight. It's an NFC North showdown. Packers and Lions both 2-1 in the NFC North. Kickoff 7:15 on Amazon Prime Video tonight. Should be a good game. I still am just absolutely having a hard time grasping this, and it's been this way since they started it. I don't know how you expect NFL players to play two games in 5 days. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. There's no way anybody, I mean anybody, high school level, college, or pro should play two football games in 5 days. It shouldn't happen. We had a point there. We had 3 in 10 days with the high school playoff situation. That should never happen. We sit here and we talk about player safety. Well, you can't leverage and jump on top of a guy to block an extra point or a field goal the other night, which cost the Steelers and gave the Raiders a chance. But we can shove a whole bunch of guys into a pile to get 1 yard like the Eagles. Richard Sherman mentioned this yesterday. I thought he made a good point. We're worried about health and safety of the players. Is that good? No, it's not. People jumping on top of each other to try to stop Jalen Hurts. But you can do that, but you can't. And you can jump off of somebody to jump on top of a quarterback trying to quarterback sneak. But you can't elevate off of somebody to try to block an extra point. It's the hypocrisy of the National Football League, and you care about safety, and then you have games on Thursdays after you just played a Sunday game. It's ridiculous. Yeah. But anyway, and I don't think the Thursday night games, some of them have been good, some of them have not been good, and I just don't like it. I really don't. But anyway, and you really don't like it if you don't get Amazon Prime Video, which is tonight. Packers in Green Bay hosting the Lions. NBA, the big news, star guard Damian Lillard is headed to the Milwaukee Bucks, which surprised people in a three-team deal between the Bucks, the Trailblazers, and the Phoenix Suns. Lillard is going from Portland to Milwaukee. Portland gets Drew Holiday, who they will more than likely turn around and trade. They get a 29 unprotected first-round pick. They swap rights in 28 and 30 from Milwaukee as well. And they get DeAndre Ayton from the Suns and some other guy I don't know from the Suns. Phoenix receives Jusuf Nurkic, who's I think will fit well with the Suns. Nassar Little, Keon Johnson from the Blazers, and they get Grayson Allen from the Bucks. And lots of people don't like Grayson Allen, so congratulations, Suns fans. You get Grayson Allen. I think it's a good trade for all three, honestly. I think it's a win-win for all three, especially depending on what the Blazers get for Drew Holiday. I will say this. I think when you team up these star players, I think the expectations shoot through the roof right away. The Bucks last year were the number one seed, had the best record in the East, and lost in the first round to the Heat. Now, Giannis was banged up, missed a game, I think, during that series. So you just sit here and go, well, okay, they got Chris Middleton, they got Brook Lopez, they got Bobby Portis Jr., they got Giannis, and they got Damian Lillard, and so this team is loaded. Yeah, they lost Jrue Holiday. He was an all-star, but this team is the team to beat. And already everybody's like, they're the favorite to win the NBA title. They're the team to win the East, which I would say, on paper, them and the Celtics are the teams to beat in the East. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't disagree with that. I don't see where people think the Suns are the best team in the West. I still think it's the Nuggets. But the Suns might have got. I think the Suns did better with this deal than some of these other things they've done, because Ayton didn't want to be there. They were frustrated with Ayton. Nurkic is going to fit in very well at center. So I think it's a great move for the Suns. I think it's a great move for the Bucks because they're all in to win it, and Giannis wants to stay there. And Lillard is under contract for 3 or 4 years, and he's I think 30. So there still should be some good years left, hopefully for him. But I will say this: Jrue Holiday wasn't chopped liver. I mean, the reason the Bucks didn't win 2 years ago is because Chris Middleton had a knee injury. Or I think they would have been in the finals again. Last year, Giannis was hurt. To me, it's health. And so they're all in to get Damian Lillard, and that's fine. But Damian Lillard is not the defensive player Jrue Holiday is. So they're worse on defense with this trade. They have less depth because of this trade.
Mm-hmm.
Does this sound familiar from other big deals we've heard over the years? You know, same mm-hmm. thing with the Suns. We got Durant, yeah, but you don't have nobody on the bench. And he's injury prone. Now, Lillard has been a little banged up last couple of years. He's a closer, though, and I think he will fit with the Bucks. He can close from the outside. He takes pressure off Giannis, there's no doubt. Jrue Holiday, a good shooter, not a great shooter. Dame is. So Damian Lillard is a better offensive player. Averaged 31, 32 a game with the Blazers last year. But Jrue Holiday is a better defender. And they gave up depth. So it's a win at all now. This is putting all your chips in the middle of the table saying we're all in. Giannis said in the offseason, he kind of helped this happen. He said, you know, I don't know my next contract situation, what? I want to win championships, and if we don't win here, I want to win somewhere else. And the Bucks management heard that and said, you know what? We can get Lillard. And on top of that, we don't let the Heat get him. Because the Heat beat him head-to-head. Heat went to the finals last year, and the Heat were the 8th seed. And now Jimmy Butler is accusing the Bucks of tampering, which maybe there was. I don't know. But I think this one makes a little more sense for the team that gets the big star than some of the other fits that I've seen. Like Booker and Durant, to me, doesn't make as much sense. This one does. You got a guard. You got a guy now, Giannis, that can play more inside. He doesn't have to bring the ball up the floor as he was some last year. But you do get worse defensively. So I understand they're the favorite in the East. Why wouldn't they be? They were the 1 seed last year without Damian Lillard. Are they the favorite to win it all? Now, see, I can't go that far.
I have not even thought about that part of it, but yeah, I think that they do put themselves in line to be the favorite in the East. The Celtics can obviously have something to say about that with Tatum and Brown and everybody they've got there. And
they added Porzingis.
Yeah, and I mean, they can obviously throw their hat in there and be toward the top of that, and some people are still going to pick them to be the best in the East. I don't know. I haven't had a deep enough dive into it to know who I think is going to win the whole thing this year.
There is talk that the Celtics are interested in trading for Jrue Holiday, which would be crazy because he go from the Bucks to the Blazers for a few seconds to go to Boston, and Boston lost Marcus Smart. So the Bucks lost Jrue Holiday, one of the best defensive guards in the league. So they got worse defensively with this trade yesterday, but they got better offensively. The Celtics got worse. They got better offensively at Porzingis, but they got worse because they traded Marcus Smart away. Mm-hmm. He's with the Grizzlies now. But you then bring in Jrue Holiday, who can score, and he's a good scorer, not a great scorer, good scorer. He's a better scorer than Marcus Smart, and he's a really good defender. The Celtics actually, in a roundabout long way to get there, got better. Even though they lost one of the heart and soul pieces of their team. Marcus Smart was a big, huge part of the soul of that team.
Yeah, if they can get Holiday, I agree
with
that.
Huge. Yeah. That'd be huge. Wouldn't that be something? The Bucks are all about, yeah, we got Lillard. Yeah, now you just lost Holiday to the biggest threat you have in the East, and he's going to know what you run and what you do. So that should be interesting. In college football, Michigan State officially fired head coach Mel Tucker with cause yesterday, citing his admitted and undisputed behaviors, which have brought public disrespect, contempt, and ridicule upon the university and constitute a material breach of his agreement and moral turpitude. Whatever that means. Tucker has been suspended without pay since September 10th and is under university investigation for a sexual misconduct complaint brought by Brenda Tracy, a sexual assault awareness speaker. By firing Tucker for cause, Michigan State hopes to avoid paying him nearly $79 million that remains on his contract. Tucker is expected to contest the for cause firing, and there is potential for a legal battle. Absolutely. He'll finish his career at Michigan State with a 20-14 record. He was 11-2 in 2021. And as we said before, Colorado dodged a bullet by the fact that Michigan State outbid for services, basically, and now they've got Deion Sanders. By the way, Chris Klima was mentioned as a replacement to replace Mel Tucker. K-State's head coach, Chris Klieman, and he said yesterday, not interested, happy where I'm at, so forth and so on. Of course, coaches have said that before, and then they go leave. But I don't think Klieman has any interest in the Michigan State job, but maybe he has some. I don't know. But he tried to put that to bed pretty quickly yesterday.
Yeah, you don't want to be dealing with it during the season.
No.
So you're
so early.
It's going to be like, yeah, no, I don't want any part of it. And then you revisit after the season's over if they're serious about it.
Yep. Okay, college football playoff format going down into 2024. They're going to have a 12-team college football playoff. It's actually for the first time in the history of college football, we're actually going to have a playoff. I didn't stutter. Four teams is not a playoff. It's a semifinal. Despite the rash of conference realignment this offseason, it is expected that agreed-upon 12-team college football playoff format will maintain its structure at least for next season. The main reason, it would take a unanimous vote of the College Football Playoff Management Committee, which is 10 commissioners and Notre Dame's athletic director, to make any change to the 12-team format at this point. The 12-team structure in place for 2024 will include seeing the six highest-ranked conference champions populate the field as automatic qualifiers, with six other at-large teams receiving playoff bids. Now, it was thrown out there, a proposal was out there that said, listen, we're going to do a 5+7. We're going to give the five major conferences their champions automatically in. Then we take the next seven that are ranked in the order that they're ranked. I don't know if I fully like that, because I think then you got a whole bunch of politics involved in regards to, oh, let's make sure that, you know, Alabama lost two games. Let's make sure they're in the top 12. Let's put them at 12. And the other thing, we're going off of, are we still going to be using that formula to figure out the top, the rankings? Because if it's a coaches poll or an AP poll, then media has the chance to skew things, and the coaches
Don't think they're using that now.
Yeah, I know that. I'm talking about the formula that they use right now for the college football playoff.
Oh, yeah.
Are they going to use that for the 12-team field?
I would imagine it'd be something similar to it, and then the human ranking that's involved with all the people that are just on the college football playoff ranking board.
Yeah, right.
I would guess they're going to keep a similar structure to that. I don't know. You've got to do something that eliminates some of the human
error.
Yes,
that's what I'm
saying. There's no question.
That's what I'm saying. That's supposedly what they do now with the so-called playoff that they have determined in the top four teams, and we know there's politics involved there, obviously. And this is the big, big news, of course. Everybody knows this. After attending the Chiefs' Week 3 game at Arrowhead in Kansas City, pop star Taylor Swift plans to make another NFL appearance this Sunday night for the Chiefs-Jets game in support of tight end Travis Kelce, who she is rumored to be dating. I don't think there's any rumors anymore. I saw a few pictures yesterday. It looks like they're kind of tight. NBC's ratings are already expected to go higher than any other Sunday night game they've had this year, if not over the last few years, because Taylor Swift's going to be there. Do people know that they can't actually go up and have a conversation with her and take a picture with her? Do they understand she'll be in a suite, she'll have a whole bunch of security around her? That you have a better chance of talking to Taylor through the television here in North Central Kansas than you do of being there? I'm just amazed. I'm still amazed by... It is royalty. It really is. It is royalty. We'll see how long this thing lasts, but the Swifties are out in full force now, and the Kelce podcast was brilliant yesterday. Answering dumb questions is what they call it. No dumb questions, whatever. And answering Swifty questions as to explain what a down is, some of the rules in football. I thought that was very clever and very funny, and that's smart.
Oh, for sure. My thing is like...
This is all brilliant to me.
You just like sit there and just like... Is the need to see her live on TV that big? Because you could go watch YouTube videos all day of
Absolutely.
Taylor Swift and see her.
But it's like, not live. It's recorded, Dusty.
Why do you need to? That's interesting.
She's a hologram.
Oh, I might get a glance at Taylor. Let's watch the football game tonight.
Let me go ahead and buy my $1,000 tickets to watch a crappy offense, the Jets, play the Chiefs, and what'll probably be a blowout so I can see Taylor Swift behind plexiglass. Sounds like a good investment to me. Breaking news, Nebraska's new Memorial Stadium renovation project will have a price tag of $450 million. $225 million will come from private funding. So that's good to know. Half of it's coming from private funding. Mm-hmm. That's better than what they're doing at OKC with their new downtown arena they're going to do for the Thunder, where the ownership group's going to put in a whopping 5%. $50 million, that sounds like a lot. And you figure out how much it costs, and it's like, yeah, that's barely 5% of what the total cost of the project's going to be. Today is National Ask a Stupid Question Day, Dusty. Would you like to ask a stupid question?
I can't even think of one.
I got one.
Okay.
It's really simple. Who's Taylor Swift? Did you see Julius Randle? He is the he's a NBA All-Star with the New York Knicks. His wife was pulling a prank on him. And she played it up really well. And she said, you know, Taylor Swift put Travis Kelce on the map. And he, you can hear him in the background. What are you talking about, girl? It's like, people know Travis. No, she goes, no, no. People know about Patrick Mahomes. They don't know about Travis Kelce. Julius Randle's like, if they know about Patrick Mahomes, they already know about Travis Kelce. What are you talking about? And she just got him rolling a little bit. Like, what do you mean? Travis Kelce's been known by everybody in football, even outside of football. It's like, no, Taylor Swift put him on the map, honey. I thought that was pretty funny. Oh, my. So ask a stupid question today, or if you normally do, today will be no different than any other day.